We come back again to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I'm so glad you're here, and you are going to be glad you're here, because we're looking at what Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount. We have come to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, and we will begin there in just a moment, studying this sermon that Jesus preached concerning the nature of the kingdom of heaven that was then at hand. And this is that same kingdom that he built and established on the day of Pentecost. This is how it's going to be for those who would be members of his church. Now let me get to this after I remind you. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, let's return to this beautiful sermon, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And here is where Jesus said, "Enter ye by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they that enter thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That's why we're to knock, and to seek, and to ask. There's another place where Jesus says, "Strive to enter ye at the straight gate." I want you to notice, in these two verses, there are two gates. The wide gate and the narrow gate. There are two ways. The broad way and the narrow way. There are two destinations. There is life and there is destruction. And there are two classes of people. The many and the few. And you want to be among the few that go through that narrow gate and walk that narrow way that leads unto life. Don't be following the multitude. Follow after the few that are following after our Lord. And then Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them." You know, this chapter began in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. "Judge not that ye be not judged." And when we were talking about that in our earlier class, we was talking about how some people read that and think, well, you're not supposed to use good judgment. Well, that's not what it's talking about. It doesn't eliminate all judgment. It eliminates false judgment based on false premises. But when you're using the Bible to judge, how could you beware of false prophets if you couldn't make a judgment concerning the things that are being taught? You are to examine their fruits. I was one old preacher that used to say, well, I'm not a judge, but I'll be a fruit inspector. And so see what the fruit of those teachings are and judge those teachings. Judge them by the things that are written. And so he says, "The men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. So then every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And then notice verse 21, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now there be many that say the way to be saved is just say the sinner's prayer. But saying, Lord, Lord, is not sufficient. We don't need to just say, we need to do. It's not saying, Lord, Lord, that gets us into the kingdom of heaven. It says in Matthew 7:21, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on talking about this in verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, you might do many things that you think are great in your sight, but is it what God has told you to do? Are you doing the will of the Father? And it's not doing things that we think are good, it's doing the things that God thinks are good that counts. And if you try to do good on your own way and your own things, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he goes on in verse 24, emphasizing this, Matthew chapter 7:24. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, that it fell. And great was the fall thereof. I want you to notice here the two men, the wise and the foolish, and the two foundations, the rock and the sand. Now they both heard, and they both built a house. And in both times, the houses underwent the storm, where the winds blew and the floods came. But one house stood, and one house failed. Now, what is the difference? Both men heard the word of the Lord and built a house, but the wise man heard the word of the Lord and did what the Lord said. That's why it is said his house was founded on a rock, and his house did not fall. The foolish man also heard the word of the Lord, but he did not do what the Lord said. And so his house was founded on the sand. And when the storm came, great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these words, the people were astonished. Look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. It came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. All the scribes would say, you have heard that it hath been said of them of old, and then tell you their traditions. But Jesus says, you've heard that it hath been said of old, but I say unto you. And Jesus spoke with the authority. It was the authority that comes from heaven. It was the authority of the Lord himself. You need to remember, when Jesus is commenting on what is written in the law, that it was his law to start with. He knew why he gave it, and he knew what it meant. And he could explain it better than any scribe or Pharisee could. In fact, he could do so with an authority that they did not have. and the very manner of his speech demonstrated that he had that authority. And Matthew is recording this for us so that we might know that Jesus is the Christ. Now with that, we want to turn to Elam's notes. And Elam wrote a Sunday school lesson on a portion of this sermon that was written for the Sunday schools of October the 12th, 1924. And the part upon which Elam based this Sunday school lesson is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. And it's the part that discusses what Jesus had said about prayer. Now, as we get there, we want to put all of this in context. So let's go back. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed, therefore, that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else ye have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore thou doest alms, shalt not sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, who seeth in secret, shall recompense thee. In this chapter, Jesus continues to teach the same important truths which he emphasized in the previous chapter. Namely, his kingdom is a spiritual one, based upon principles which lay hold of the heart, control it, and controlling it, govern the outward life. The Sermon on the Mount begins with the heart. It's the poor in spirit. Following this are the conditions of the heart necessary to acceptable service to God. This lesson is against wrong motives and purposes in doing righteousness, giving alms, praying, and fasting. It is also a lesson against pride, show, display, and the ostentation in the service of God. It teaches that God must be served truly and sincerely. Any desire, purpose, or effort to serve God may be seen of men, destroys the spirituality of the service, and transports it into a matter of pride, display, and hypocrisy. For this Jesus condemned the scribes and the Pharisees as hypocrites, saying, "But all their works they do to be seen of men." Jesus specifies much they did in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. We read, "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things therefore whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe, but do not after their works. For they say, and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move one of them with their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the chief places at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for one is your Father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even the Christ. But he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall humble himself, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." The Sermon on the Mount is a great sermon on the spiritual value of humility and the condemnation of pride.